to the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyonko now. Here's a Honduran. And he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Bob, we have a show for you here tonight. It's not often you get two of the most technically gifted soccer players in the history of the U.S. national team on the program. We have it for you here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Landon Donovan will join the show here tonight. Now with the San Diego Loyal, he will be their coach. He is a part owner of the team. We'll talk with him about the USL and the impact he is trying to make in San Diego. Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo manager tonight. Extensive interview with him. About 25 minutes with Tab tonight here. And you're going to get to know your Houston Dynamo manager better than you have probably before. There's a lot of reference to things that happened in his career and his soccer journey. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, we're going to get to him on his way to Toluca. And then Josh Babetsky of the Austin Anthem, talking about the supporters group in Austin, Texas, which, by the way, I haven't kicked a ball up there, and it's larger than a number of the supporters groups in Major League Soccer, and it's interesting how they're going about it up there as well. So a lot of interesting stuff to talk about here tonight. I am your very humble host, Glenn Davis. Of course, behind the glass, as always, is Andrew Carlson. We've got him back after our man, Mr. Raybould. Aaron took over last week, and we appreciate Aaron's work as well. Zarek Valentin, you know him as an outside back for the Portland Timbers, capable of playing on the right or left side, played his college soccer at Akron, has played quite a bit for the Portland Timbers. He was drafted by Nashville today in the expansion draft, traded to Houston for Joe Willis. So Dynamo goalkeeper Joe Willis, who came off a very solid year last year, on his way to the expansion, Nashville SC. Not a better guy you could ever meet. Just a genuine, great guy. I'm going to miss seeing Joe here. And I know some of the Dynamo fans will as well. But Joe Willis on his way to Nashville. Zarek Valentin from the Portland Timbers, now a member of the Houston Dynamo under Tab Ramos. So for now, I guess Tyler Derrick is the number one. He counts as a homegrown player. That's good when it comes to the salary cap. Let's see what else possibly the Dynamo do with the goalkeeping position. As mentioned, Valentin can play as a right or left back. Mauricio Pochettino, this is the big news today out at Spurs. Boy, talk about a downward spiral, right? Champions League final last year. Really making a push to the top two teams in the Premier League. They don't invest over 18 months in players. The brand new stadium cited the reason. But now, from a competitive standpoint, the team mess. You had to think this was going to happen. Owner Daniel Levy, kind of looking like the villain now, citing, I thought this was kind of funny, citing the results spiraling down in the Premier League last year and this year. And I just say to that, what about getting to the Champions League final? And what about the lack of investment in players? Mauricio Pochettino, you will see him land somewhere spectacular. And dare I say it, Andrew Carlson, Jose Mourinho to Spurs. Oh, for the love of God, I don't want to see that dream again.
It would make the North London Derby absolutely spectacular, though, Glenn.
Well, and people know that, right? I mean, that's part of the reason and the allure you get with Jose. So there you go. So tonight, Landon Donovan, Tab Ramos, Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, Josh Babetsky of the Austin Anthem. A big shout out to my friend Davian. He beat cancer, visited him up at the Texas Children's Hospital in the Woodlands. A big thank you to Dr. Ricky Flores and Jessica. They actually brought him on to set on our Cube 57 set before a Dynamo game. Spectacular young man. So excited that he has beaten cancer. And I'll put a nice photo of him up on the Facebook Soccer Matters page here. 20 teams set for the Euros. Last four spots are up for grabs. 24 teams in the Euros. Let's make this just bigger and bigger and bigger and give everybody an opportunity in this. U.S. and Cuba right now. U.S. is up, I think, 1-0. That game started at 6:30. USL Final, Real Monarchs over Louisville City FC 3-1. Wonderful for the USL. Luis Enrique back as the Spain coach. Had to take care of his terminally ill daughter who passed. Roberto Moreno, who had taken over, not even going to come back, who was his right-hand man. So there's a lot to that one. MLS draft day today. Thierry Henry in Montreal says, "I've learned from the Monaco failure." Now, look, there's a name value to Henry. Marketing, global exposure. He's got an owner that likes to get involved, though, in Joey Saputo in Montreal. Henry, 4 wins, 4 draws, 11 losses, 19th in France, played 8 different systems, and as quoted by some, behaved like a player at certain moments. Taking a break. When we come back, U.S. legend Landon Donovan on soccer in the USL in San Diego.
ESPN 97.5.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's so tight. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Landon Donovan, there are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Distinct pleasure to have this man on the show. You know him as Landon Donovan, one of the greatest soccer players ever here in the United States. And you also know him now as owner of a USL franchise in San Diego. Landon, thank you very much for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. Thank you.
Well, I guess the first thing is I just want to talk to you about San Diego because I love how woven in you are to this community when it comes to this USL franchise and what you're doing. Everything I hear is community and give back to the people. It seems like you're going to be incredibly inclusive down there. This seems like an exciting project.
Extremely exciting. I moved down here 4 years ago from LA with my wife. My wife grew up here in San Diego, and I've had the opportunity to really get to know this community well and really connect with the soccer community. Candidly, when I was playing, it was a little more difficult because I was tired all the time, right? From training, and you want to go home and recover and rest. And so being out in the community or meeting people, talking to people, it was enjoyable, but it was also exhausting. And now that I'm on this side of the game, I think I just really appreciate people who love this game the way I do and fans who support it the way I always have. And so I've made a lot of really close connections with, how you would identify them as fans, but I think they're just people who love soccer. And so having the ability to be part of a project to bring professional soccer to this city in a real way, finally, there have been a lot of iterations throughout the years, as I'm sure you know, is really, really exciting. So we are grateful for the opportunity. We also take it as a huge responsibility. And we realize very clearly that in order for this to be successful, we have to make this the community's team. And the way you do that is by allowing them to be part of the process, right? And really listening to what they want, because at one point we'll all be gone, but the club will still be here. So we've got to be true to San Diego.
Yeah, I love that attitude. By the way, I think about you and just how often you had to be quote unquote on, right, when you're a player, like, because you don't want to go to a bunch of little kids and not be upbeat. And I mean, that is a challenge in itself, being on, right?
There's no question. And it's, you know, listen, there are worse things in life, right, than people wanting to meet you and take pictures and have you sign their autograph and those kind of things. But the reality is, you know, being on your feet for an hour or an hour and a half in the afternoon when your body really needs to rest is difficult at times, right? And it's also emotionally exhausting to be on like that. So I don't want it to sound like I'm ungrateful. There are many worse jobs to have in life, but it does take a toll on you. And I think I just didn't really appreciate that piece of it. And there's also a piece that's really enjoyable to just humanize yourself to people. You know, at first, a lot of the supporters who I met here, a lot of the American Outlaws, et cetera, they would kind of walk on eggshells a little bit around me. And, you know, they didn't want to say the wrong thing. They didn't want to overstep their bounds. And now they're just friends. They've genuinely become friends of mine. I text with many of them all the time about a variety of issues. And it's been really nice for me to really, truly connect with the community in that way. I really enjoy it.
Talking to Landon Donovan now with the USL San Diego franchise. We'll talk about the name in a minute. By the way, the last time an outdoor team was in San Diego, 2001 with the USL A-League. But you do have tremendous soccer history with the San Diego Soccers all the way back to the NASL. I think of Ron Newman, who was one of the great salesmen in the history of the pro game in this country. Kaz Dania, Steve Jungle, Leo Cuellar. I mean, on and on it goes. So do you consider and tap into the history as well as you build this thing?
Absolutely. And there's, you know, the San Diego Soccers are the most successful sports franchise in the history of this city. Right? They have 15 championships. No other sporting franchise in the history of this town has won anything. So there's so much history in the indoor game, and then there's also a lot of history in the outdoor game. This community has soccer in its blood, and it comes from all different types of people, right? You have South San Diego, where there's a heavy Latin influence with Mexican Americans. You have North County of San Diego, where there are a lot of soccer families and sort of youth soccer clubs. We have our East County, where it's more rural, but a group of people in our community who love the game deeply too. So we have a lot of different types of soccer fans, and our challenge and also our privilege is to unify them in a way that matters. We have tons of supporters groups of EPL teams or Barcelona or that meet every weekend of 15, 20, 30, 100 people. And how do we connect them all back to San Diego so they have a team here that they're united about and love? And that's our challenge, but also that's the fun of it.
I almost feel like you're giving people, obviously it's inclusive, but you're giving them sort of the locals' ownership of the team, and that no group is going to be unrepresented, and you know, it is going to be something that goes very, very deep in the community through the history of the game, and you've just got this beautiful, clean canvas to work on.
And you have to, Glenn, because in sports these days and in professional sports in our country, any way you slice it, it's become very corporate, right? It's about what sponsorships you can get, how do you fill the seats, how do you maximize revenue. And I think people now, and I'm a huge sports fan too, we all know that. Right? Like, we can sense it, we can see it, we can feel it. And you've kind of gotten away from the customer or your fan and providing them what they really want. So for, especially at the USL level now, oftentimes the teams in these communities have a deeper connection with the fans and the community than big league teams do, because the big league teams are, again, more corporate and, you know, you get butts in seats and they come to the game and they leave the game. But a lot of these franchises in USL and some MLS teams too are deeply, deeply connected to the community in really meaningful ways. And we're not reinventing the wheel. We're doing what other teams have done, Orlando, Portland, Seattle, the Galaxy over the years. We're just doing what they do, and we're doing it in a genuine and authentic way. And you know this, when you feel ownership of something, whether it's monetary or emotional, you're more likely to attend, you're more likely to support it, you're more likely to tell your friends about it. And that's what we're trying to create. We're trying to create a community where people own this team. They take ownership of it. They have a say in it. And ultimately, that makes them love it on a much deeper level.
Speaking of Landon Donovan, USL San Diego team, 2020 or 2021? Do we know when you're going to begin play?
2020, March 2020. Yeah. So
there we go.
We have exactly tomorrow, 2 months until preseason starts. And then a few weeks after that, we'll be playing our first game at the University of San Diego here in 2020. So it's going to come fast.
This is going to be exciting. So the good news is I have a sister in Rancho Santa Fe. So when I come out to visit her, I'm going to take in some of your games. So that would be a very cool thing to do. How about that?
Perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
So I want to continue on with you. How does it feel to be Landon Donovan owner now? And you talked about the investment that you have in this now and the desire to make this work. I mean, when I listen to you talk, I feel leadership. I like this sense that you are zoned in on San Diego, you know, not a big, wide, expansive net you're casting. It is San Diego, and you're all about pro San Diego.
I am. I've fallen in love with this community. I really have over the last 4 years. And it, like any community, has its warts, and there are things that, you know, we would like to see changed and done differently. But I really do love this community. It's been really good to me and my family. And for the first time, Gwen, as athletes, we're always traveling and moving in different cities. And LA always is home for me. So for the first time in my career, this is another city that I've lived in that actually feels like home. And that's important to me. And that's different than me being an owner or executive or manager of a team somewhere else in the country, because yes, you want to do a good job and you want to be successful, but you're not connected in an intimate way because it's not your new hometown. And that's how I feel about San Diego. So I'm naturally going to do more and try to help more to make this successful, because this is also where I live now.
Speaking of Landon Donovan, San Diego USL team 2020, March, we'll kick it off. Landon, for my listeners and those listening to this program, just describe, you know, I know you're going to be on the competitive side of it, kind of what your roles are going to be as well as being one of the owners of the team.
Well, this will be my managerial debut next year, Glenn. So we went through a long process with our founder and president, Warren Smith, about what is the best way for me to be involved. And as I sat with it and thought about it and spoke to my wife about it over the course of a few weeks, I realized that this is a great opportunity for me to begin my coaching or managerial career. So that's going to be obviously challenging the first time, but something I'm really, really excited about. And candidly, since I retired, I've been trying to find where that passion is going to be, that next passion is going to lie. And I think now I'm ready for the opportunity, whereas even probably 6 months ago, I probably would not have been ready. I'm ready for the challenge, and I'm ready to be back out on the field and ultimately impact young men's lives and make them better people and soccer players. So I'm really excited about it and really passionate about it.
Absolutely outstanding. Now, I read an article about your partner, Warren Smith, and you know, in the article it said, well, they're an unlikely pair. Warren Smith, you know, Sacramento, and helped with that club, Landon Donovan. And then I kind of read the article, I'm going, no, they look like a good pairing to me, not unlikely.
Well, it's been an interesting pairing, because Warren came from Sacramento, started Sac Republic. The reason, the way I got to know him was, he started Sac Republic in 2015, and all of a sudden, with all the buzz and everything going on in MLS, there was this little USL club in Sacramento that was quickly becoming a huge club, and I couldn't figure out why. I was trying to think, what makes this different? You know, Sacramento, you don't think of as a traditionally soccer-heavy market, so what was happening? And I realized quickly that Warren was doing something really special there. And so I went up there. I actually took a trip up there because I wanted to see what was going on. I got to meet Warren, really, really admired what he was doing and how he was doing it. And we just kept in touch. And so when he came to me earlier this year and said, we want to do the same thing in San Diego, it was a no-brainer for me, and I wanted to be involved. So we share one thing very deeply in common, and that's that we both understand that the fans in a particular city emotionally are the owners of the team. And so if you come in with a mindset, which many, I would say 99% of owners do in professional sports, that you are the owner and the fans are your customers and they do what you tell them and you provide a new player or a new signing or a new jersey and they're supposed to buy it and consume it, you can be successful, but you're never going to have that buy-in from the community. And we both see it the opposite way. We see it as we are stewards for what the fans here want, what the people of San Diego want. We could have made up any name, color scheme, design that we wanted and said, we think that's cool. That's what we're going to go with. That's not what the people want, right? So we just sat and listened. We had tons of listening sessions with people from every walk of life in San Diego and listened to what they wanted. And ultimately, our job is to provide them with what they want. And if we don't, they need to hold us accountable and say, hey, we don't want that. We want this. And that's the way we see this club, and that's the way we want to run it.
How about the name? How'd you come up with the name? San Diego Loyal.
That's exactly it. So on the surface, people go, okay, well, you know, a bunch of people sat in a room and just said, oh, that kind of sounds cool. Well, the reality is we went out, we had 12 listening sessions with over 500 people in San Diego. We had teachers, we had surf community, we had the beer community, we had the business community that we listened to, soccer fans, obviously, the military, artists. We just talked to a bunch of different people about what San Diego is to them and what do they care about and want in a new professional sports franchise. And over and over and over and over, the word loyal kept coming up. People said, we've had 28 iterations of sports teams come and go here, including the San Diego Clippers, the LA Clippers. Everybody knows the San Diego Chargers moving to LA recently. They just said, just be loyal to San Diego. Be loyal to us, to our families, to our community, and to San Diego. And one day we kind of just, you know, someone just said, well, why wouldn't we just name the team Loyal? You know, it's kind of different. It's kind of cool. We want to be different. And it just stuck. And a little bit like naming a kid at first, you know, when your kid is born and people go, wait, what? What? You know, my first son's name is Talon.
Mm-hmm.
My second son is Slate and my daughter is Raven. And so when you first tell people, it's kind of like, what? I don't get it. Why not Michael and Melissa and Jessica and whatever? But then after a few weeks or months, people can't imagine them not having that name. And that's, you know, that's how all sort of sports names are. And that'll be no different here. But people, the reaction has been tremendous. People are really excited when they understand the story. They're even more connected. And so it's been really good for us.
That way that you just told the story of the naming of the team, that was just gold. I mean, that was incredible. How much in-depth work you did, because I think most people are going to say, well, how did they come up with that name? And the amount of people that you spoke with, and then the fact that you talked about franchises that left San Diego, pretty remarkable. Last thing before I let you go, and again, thank you so much for your time. I just look at you now, and I mean, the way you're speaking in this interview, I feel like you're really at peace, because it is so difficult to be doing what you did on such a big stage, doing it so successfully for so many years. Was it hard making the transition to finally getting to where you are now? And maybe it's supposed to be.
Very, very hard. It's not easy. And anybody who's transitioning, I know you've worked with a guy like Eddie Robinson, Brian Ching, who you know well.
Yeah.
It's hard for all of us because we've known one thing since we were basically 5 years old, and not on a professional level, but we've been working towards that. And then we get into our 30s, and that's when most people are really just starting to formalize their careers. And now all of a sudden we've got to start all over. And we have a lot of skill sets that help us, in, you know, quote unquote, the regular world. But we, in a lot of ways, we also haven't practiced any of those in a way that's different from the soccer field, from playing soccer. So it's really challenging. And then the other piece is finding what you're passionate about. Yes, there are a lot of things all of us could do because of a lot of the skills that we've learned through soccer, but do you really find passion in that? And that's the difficult part. You know, I really enjoy analyzing games, whether it's on the desk or in person in the booth. I really enjoy that, but I don't have crazy, crazy passion for that, right? So it's enjoyable. I love working with the people I've had the chance to work with, but there's not that burning passion and desire inside. And I finally found it here. And granted, I haven't been on the field yet, so I'm sure after a few weeks I'll hate it because the players will be annoying. But there is that fire is back in my belly, and I've been looking for that fire, and I finally found it. And so it's difficult. It's challenging. Again, we have the best job in the world when we're playing, so I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it, but there are realities that make it challenging and difficult. But when you do find that passion again, it's really exciting.
Well, you know, I've had teammates from the 80s, and, you know, I almost feel sad sometimes, you know, that they're still talking about their careers. You're fresh off it, but, you know, it seems to me they've never found that secondary thing of passion to replace it. And I feel sad sometimes about that. Before I let you go, do you get concerned? And obviously you can address this with this USL franchise, because I watched that Louisville game that you were interviewed at halftime, and the passion there was just, it just felt so healthy. It felt so organic. It felt so cool watching that game with Real Monarchs. But do you get concerned that our thoughts are now moving way too far on the scale to the corporate side of it and away from the competitive side of the professional game in this country?
I do worry, and it's what I talked about in the beginning with other professional sports. And it's a challenge, candidly, that MLS has faced a little bit lately, and that I think any developing and evolving and successful sports league goes through. And USL is probably just at the precipice of that. You know, MLS is trying to find a way to become bigger and become a bigger business and have bigger brands, all while staying true to the community and the fans and the people who were there from the beginning, right? I mean, that's a challenge. So even in the workplace, you know, people are there 15 years helping build the Galaxy from day one. Now, if you have the opportunity to hire someone at them who has a, you know, a much better resume, but do they really still connect with the club in the same way? And that's, you know, that's something you have to take into account as you're moving forward as a business. And that's really challenging. So we have to make sure, in my opinion, that we stay true to the game and to the communities. I think that is the vital piece that a lot of professional sports teams have lost, and the piece that makes soccer so different and what has attracted people to soccer, because now they sense how corporate other sports are in this country, and they just want to get back to that connection. That's why, you know, minor league baseball does so well, right? In some random little cities around America, they have 8,000 people in the stands who are really connected to the community in a real way. And they love that connection with the players and the brand and the city. And that's what we have to keep alive. I think it's a vital part of our success.
Landon, can't thank you enough for this interview. Very refreshing. Excited very much personally for you that this is the direction you're going in and San Diego. And thank you again for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. Great to talk to you, buddy.
You too. That's Landon Donovan, first manager of the San Diego Loyal. What a great interview that is. We'll take a break. More to come.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show as we roll on here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We go down to Mexico, going over the hill to Toluca right now. Via his car is the legendary ESPN FC writer, Tom Marshall. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, not bad. Stuck in a bit of traffic, but, you know, living in Mexico City, you kind of expect it.
So promise me your hand's free.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
So now we can proceed with this interview because we do have rules on this show. There are nobody drives and talks into a phone holding it up to their ear. So, okay. So let's start it off. I do like this new MLS All-Star Game format next year, Liga MX All-Stars against LAFC. Any details you can tell us about that and maybe how the Liga MX All-Stars are going to be picked?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already generated excitement, even though it's not yet official. I mean, I think, you know, the Mexican media are already talking about it. You know, the story's going out, what's the Liga MX team going to look like? And obviously, would a Liga MX team beat an MLS All-Star team? If you take into consideration that, you know, the Liga MX don't have the designated players, you could argue that actually at the top end of each league, MLS is actually stronger. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to generate a lot of interest. And I think above everything, and I think it's something that MLS is, you know, very much focused on when it comes to, you know, this deal, this kind of alliance with Liga MX, is the TV numbers. I mean, I think if you put it on through the NA, you put it on ESPN, or not sure where it's going to go on, you know, but through the NA in Spanish and then ESPN or Fox in English, and you're going to get big TV numbers for that game. And I think that's going to be, you know, a massive boost for the All-Star game in general.
2020 MLS All-Star Game is going to be played at the Los Angeles Bank of California Stadium. MLS All-Stars against Liga MX. It's going to take place on July 29th. So it's pretty interesting. We continue to see all these connections and alliances with the two leagues. It seems like leadership has figured out we're better working together on some things.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think from both sides, there's a drive now. I do think it has been difficult on the Mexican side. I think it's probably more difficult on the Mexico side just because of the league structure. You know, it's not a centralized league. So, you know, the president, Enrique Bonilla, has to go to all the clubs and he has to sell it to all the clubs. But at the same time, the more forward-thinking clubs don't have too much of an issue with it just because, you know, the Mexican clubs are no longer in the Libertadores. I don't think they see much future in kind of a lion like they have done previously with CONMEBOL. And I think they see the money is in the United States. But it is tough because, you know, for example, the Liga MX clubs negotiate their TV rights based individually. So there's no centralized contract, for example. And I think, you know, obviously that's an issue. You know, those are the kinds of issues that Liga MX has had to smooth over in terms of, making this alliance become a reality.
Talking with Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. Catch his readings over at ESPNFC.us. Tom, tremendous writer. All right, Jorge Vergara passed away suddenly, I believe in New York, at 64 years of age. Cardiac arrest was the confirmation here. Legacy of Vergara, because he was definitely a controversial figure with Chivas.
Definitely controversial, but I think, a real innovator. I think he's somebody who pushed the boat out, that did things differently, that wasn't afraid to provoke, wasn't afraid to cause controversy, and you know, make headlines, get us all talking about his team. I think in terms of the commercialization of Chivas, you know, he's taken examples from foreign clubs and brought it on board to Chivas. He's completely revolutionized the club. Now, obviously, the other side is, certain times things didn't go right. The club isn't in great shape right now. So there will be, you know, obviously Chivas USA as well wasn't exactly a success. But, you know, he's a guy who went out there and, you know, he didn't come from a rich family. He wasn't somebody who was born into wealth and, you know, just used that wealth to go and buy Chivas. You know, he worked his way up from being a mechanic, but working in, you know, grafting, selling carnitas, to owning his football club. So, I think his legacy will be one of, you know, innovation. I think he's going to go down as, you know, one of Mexican football's great innovators.
Yeah, definitely. I like the point you made about him being self-made when it came to the financial status.
Yes, 100%. I mean, you know, it's not easy. He's built an absolute empire with his company, aside from Chivas. So, I think he's honestly, there's been a lot of rumors, or there were a lot of rumors that he was very sick, and the rumors have been going on for a couple of years now. And so, I don't think what happened was a big surprise to those of us in the football circles in Mexico. But at the same time, I think his absence from Chivas over these last couple of years had been noted, because even when he was those periods where he was a bit more hands-off, when things went wrong, he'd come in there and he'd sort it out, and everybody would listen to him, and he'd put the money on the table or he'd do what needed to be done to kind of rectify the problem. So I think over the last couple of years at Chivas, we've noticed, and the club, in theory fighting relegation, at least if Veracruz didn't exist because they're terrible, but Chivas, I think they've missed him these last couple of years.
So where does Chivas go from here now? With Vergara passing on, I assume his son is going to probably do a lot of the decision-making. Is that correct? And where do you see them going now from the perspective of vision and the perspective of sort of being the unofficial national team of the country, as the fact that they only use Mexican nationals?
No, I think the fact that they use only Mexican players is not going to change. I mean, that's the identity of the club. I don't think anybody, any Chivas fan, or certainly very few, would allow any owner of the club to abandon that kind of philosophy. I think the big question, Amaury Vergara, his son, is in charge now, so he's a novice. He's coming in. He's been around the club for the last couple of years now as well, as his father kind of departed. But there's real question marks, mainly in terms of, is the money there? I mean, forget the organisational side of it. Is the money there? Ricardo Peláez has come in as the new sporting director. I think Chivas fans see that as a positive sign. Why? Because a lot of people, myself included, believe that Peláez wouldn't have accepted that job. A notoriously difficult job that, they've just been churning out sporting director after sporting director, head coach after head coach. I don't think he would have accepted that job without a guarantee that he is going to be given money. And this is a club that, it needs to be fighting the playoff spots. I mean, this is going to be like the fifth season now, fifth consecutive season that the club hasn't made the playoffs. And that's just not acceptable for a club that boasts, 40 million fans within Mexico and the United States.
Yeah, currently 12th in the Mexican League table. I want to take you into Tata Martino, because we knew when he came to Mexico he was going to be good, not only with the press, but also with maybe challenging sort of the way things are done in Mexico from a different perspective. Now, he's come out very strongly talking about the fact that there's too many foreigners on teams. Mexico has been doing very well at the under-17 level, as we know, but he thinks 9 foreigners out of 18 is way too much. Do you think he could potentially get the dynamics of the amount of Mexican nationals playing for clubs changed?
I think he's fighting an uphill battle, to be honest. I mean, a lot of Mexican national team managers, including Juan Carlos Osorio, have talked about the fact that there just aren't enough young Mexicans making the debuts, playing regularly in Liga MX, and it's a problem for the national team because obviously the player pool is more shallow if that's the situation. So we'll see. I mean, he has been stressing it absolutely every single chance he's got. Even in yesterday's press conference, he even came out and said, "Look, if you guys also think the same as me that we should be reducing the amount of foreigners, go out there and say it. Back me up." It's almost a call to the press, to the pundits, to the TV shows to come out there and say, If you think there should be a reduction, then come on and say it. Let's kind of get some momentum behind this thing. But changing the Liga MX owners' minds isn't going to be as easy as, Tata Martino coming out and say that. I mean, they've got businesses to run. They think they've kind of, they've reduced it to 9, which I think they've seen as kind of compromise. We'll see. I mean, I think in an ideal world, you wouldn't have these restrictions. They wouldn't be needed. And if there is one positive thing, I think that there are now clubs in Mexico that do have a philosophy promoting younger players. You look at the likes of Pachuca, Atlas, Santos Laguna, even in Monterrey, even America as well. I mean, these clubs are now, it's kind of the philosophy, the almost unwritten philosophy, they're promoting 2-3 young players every season and giving them minutes and kind of integrating them. And a lot of these teams, I think what they've seen, I think what the Mexican clubs have realised, I think they're increasingly more plugged into the world game. And I think they've realised they can make money. You know, if you sell Irving Lozano to Europe, if you sell Edson Alvarez to Europe, Diego Lainez to Europe, you know what? You make a lot of money, which you can then put back into the team. So I do think if there is a positive, it is that clubs are starting to do what Tata Martino is kind of pointing at. But there are still clubs like Tigres. It was just, I mean, look at Peretti at Tigres. He's been so successful, but, you know, if you look at the amount of debuts, the amount of players that he's given regular minutes to, you know, under the age of 23, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's problematic, I think. And it's those kind of clubs that I think Martino is taking aim at.
Tom Marshall joining us, ESPN FC. By the way, Tom, in that article you wrote about Tata Martino, he does go on to say in that piece, and you quoted him, that he said, look, I'm not an expert in youth national teams, but what happens in Argentina is that the under-17s are playing in the first team within a year. And then he goes on to talk about that he debuted at 17. So there's always a conscious effort there. So he used that as an example to Mexico.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, and Tata Martino is somebody who knows about these things. I mean, this is a guy who's come through Newell's Old Boys. You know, he's been the Argentina manager. You know, he's been in Paraguay. I mean, this is a guy with a lot of experience. And, you know, it's just interesting to hear what he said. But I tell you what, he also said that, Mexico are doing things right. I mean, if you look at the under-20s league, the under-17s league, the under-15s league, the under-13s league, that's the reason why the under-17s have done so well. I mean, 3 World Cup finals in 8 years. One sec, Glenn, I've just told.
Yeah, this is great. You're getting actual live talk here. Tom Marshall is now going through a toll booth on his way to Toluca for the Mexico-Bermuda game. This is awesome radio right now, Tom.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah, it's good to go on the toll roads in Mexico just because less traffic, more direct, so... It's only $4, Glenn, so it's not too expensive either.
Listen, that's radio gold, Tom. I mean, every time you're on the show, you bring us something bigger and better. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to top this the next time you come on the program. So you're on your way to Toluca for Mexico-Bermuda. Some thoughts on that game, some expectations around it, and kind of what you think Tata Martino's looking to get out of a match of this caliber.
I think Tata's going to play his youngest team yet. I think he's going to play, you know, basically the players that didn't play down in Panama, in that, for me, was a very impressive 3-0 victory. And, you know, it's the final game of the year. He'll be looking like he has in all these games. I mean, I think he's been quite vocal in saying in an ideal world, he wouldn't be playing in the CONCACAF Nations League. But I think when it's come down to it, he's demanded that the players take it seriously. You know, whether they're playing Bermuda or Panama or, you know, they qualified today, they're already in the finals in June. I'm sure that he'll have these young players fired up. You know, because basically he's saying to these young players, and it's been what Tata Martino said for the last 2-3 months, he's saying, look, there's a generational change going on in this national team, but you've got to step up. This is your opportunity. You know, I'm giving you these September, October, November games to show yourself, to show you where they're going into next year, where we've got the Olympics as well. So I don't think a lot of them will probably be involved in the full national team. But, you know, this is part of the ongoing process of promoting these younger players ahead of 2022. And I mean, obviously the idea is that he has the deepest pool of players possible to pick from when the time comes to, 2021, 2022, when the preparations for the World Cup really, really begin.
Tom, listen, we're going to let you focus on driving. Thank you so much for coming on the program tonight here. You are a legend, and this little bit where you went through a toll booth on your way to Toluca, it makes this show even better tonight. That's fantastic radio.
Well, thanks a lot, Glenn. I'm actually about to go through a tunnel, so I think it's going to go off anyway.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much. That's Tom Marshall. The man gets it done, and ESPNFC.com. Go over there, read Tom's articles, and you can find those under the you just go to Liga MX. Tremendous writer,
very diligent at what he does, very comprehensive, and you know, one of my favorites. That's why we have him on, and I'm fortunate that he comes on the show as much as he does. Okay, we're going to take a break here. A lot more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.